morning. This is Lance Kenmore with the Kenmore team, and I'd like to welcome you to this week's edition of the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. As always, you can contact me, Lance Kenmore, anytime direct on my cell phone at 727-8977 or visit us on the web at kenmoreteam.com. Once again, I always like to thank John for hosting and everybody here at the station for working to make this happen. John McKay, how are you?
Well, I wish Mother Nature would make up her mind, but at least we're alternating. Rain, sun, rain, sun.
I'll take it, McKay. I told you after February, you're not allowed to complain anymore.
So. But I bet all that rain, I bet everybody's yards on the showings you're doing, I bet it's like jungle land.
You know, everything greened up pretty quick. And
yeah.
So that was nice. And we're able to get some green pictures instead of white pictures or
brown
ones. So you're right. I appreciate that greatly. And it's been really, really busy and a very active spring real estate market. We have with us in the studio our in-house lending specialist, Mr. Mike Denslow with Home Street Bank. Mike, how are you?
I'm good. I was thinking about the green as well and looking at some of those large hills that we have here that are as green as I can ever remember.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're still green. I've been actually following my New Year's goals and hiking Badger, and so I've been up and down there a couple times the last couple weeks, and it's nice. I mean, it's pretty. I hope it doesn't get dry too fast and turn into a fire hazard, but it is. Man, it's been awesome up there.
Have you seen any snakes yet?
One. Yes, I did see my first one. It was warm enough, one of those sunny 60-degree days, that a little buddy was on the trail up there, and I avoided him at all costs.
So. Yeah, that's one of the little nuances of the Tri-Cities.
Absolutely. Well, we always like to kind of start off with our crazy celebrity story, and it looks like popping back into the Hollywood real estate market, Angelina Jolie throwing down in escrow on a $25 million Los Feliz estate that was once belonged to the famous director Cecil DeMille. So this was on the east side of Highway 101, and you've got some of the famous historical homes that iconic directors like that lived in kind of Hollywood's heyday. So this is an 11,000 square foot home that recently went through a 6-year remodel.
Wow.
Now, normally when you've done a 6-year remodel, that usually means there's been a problem and you've messed something up. Mm-hmm. In this case, I think it was just the sheer volume of bringing back and renovating a 1913 property.
Wow.
And the pictures are absolutely gorgeous. Separate cabana, very iconic styling. And you look back and think, $25 million in escrow. In 1916, DeMille bought for $28,000.
Wow.
So
it took us 2 months to redo our bathroom. Floor, separate vanities and all that, you know, replacing sinks, plumbing and stuff, and that's pretty good for us. I'm thinking 6 years, dude.
6 years, absolutely insane. So kind of fun to look at some of those pictures and check that out. That comes off of Realtor.com, kind of just your everyday site. Like we use Realtor.com here. There's just a few more zeros when you're looking around that Los Angeles area. But on the same sense of things, normally I temper our crazy national story with a local real estate story.
Mm-hmm.
But this week, that story is one and the same. One of the national housing authorities that tracks what's going on in different markets, smartasset.com, takes a look at mortgages and home sales in different markets. And they just released this week the top 10 rising housing markets in the smaller cities. Number one on that list, Pasco, Washington.
Wow.
So there were two in the top 10 in Washington. You had Pasco and you had Redmond. And it's great to see one of our local cities on this list. I mean, we're on there with Cedar Park, Texas, San Angelo, Texas, Fayetteville, Arkansas, and then Edinburgh, Texas rounded out the list of that top 10 there. But it really says the region, including Pasco, has turned into an agriculture powerhouse. It's also become the center of the Washington wine industry, and people have been attracted to that area because of the economic activity. From 2011 to 2015, the article quotes that the population of Pasco jumped 18%. The same period, though, and what we've been talking about locally, in the same time period, though, housing stock only grew by 12%. So once again, here we are with our current inventory shortage. Mm-hmm. These national data and national companies picking up on what's going on in that market. And then what happens is when stories like this are released on a national level, you start to get looks from different things. You start to get franchises and chains coming, and you start to get commercial property managers coming into and through the area. Our commercial division, just this last week alone, we had two national chains in town with their real estate investment managers and brokers touring sites and looking for local sites. So it's national stories like this. It's our continued economic activity that has really driven the housing market to new highs, frankly, here in Tri-Cities.
Yeah, and I'm liking the new restaurants and that kind of thing. That's our thing. So you got Mod Pizza, Panera Bread, those kind of things coming in. It's awesome.
Absolutely. It's absolutely fantastic. And trust me, there's some other cool ones looking that I cannot disclose yet, but they are coming. And so, yeah, really, really exciting. So cool to see Pasco coming out in some of those national stories as those are released.
And it's funny that you see Pasco specifically, but you know it's the Tri-Cities, right?
Right.
I mean, it's just one of the three, and maybe they got a couple percentage points more, but it's,
yep,
it's all of us.
You're exactly right. When they group into, a lot of times you'll see different studies and different companies, whether it's, you know, U.S. News or it's a study like Smart Asset, some of them will lump a bigger metropolitan area together, and you'll see them throw Pasco, Kennewick, Richland on there. But if they're just looking at individual data, you're right. That population growth and what's gone on in Pasco has been tremendous. So Tri-Cities on the move and gaining more national recognition with those studies. So one of the things that we wanted to go over this week, and what happens in real estate a lot and what happens in this market, and we've talked about it over the last couple weeks, but I really wanted to go back to one of the basics, and that is what happens to pricing in a market like we've been seeing. And it's really interesting because we go through these cycles where everything is selling very quickly and inventory is low. But we still come across the occasional house that hasn't sold in this market or is still not sold. And we had two or three of those last week where those homeowners called us and said, hey, I hear the market's absolutely fantastic in Tri-Cities, or I'm reading the news stories, or I'm seeing, but we're just not getting our home sold. What do you think's going on? Can you come out and give us an analysis? And so I really went back and said, okay, what goes into the factors of setting a listing price that causes buyers to line up? And a lot of times what happens is we'll see in these hot markets is we'll see people throw some of the fundamentals out the window. And they'll really get away from some of those fundamentals in pricing. So I started with that because it's so important. And that is, number one is I put down, make sure you look at recent comps. The market is changing fast. And right now, new records are being set for a lot of the current sales that are going pending. So one of the things that we're having to do is look, instead of looking back 6 months ago, we really have to tighten that window up and look in the last month or two, and then also go a little bit deeper and look at what those pending sales are doing. So calling those agents, trying to figure out as much as we possibly can where some of those most recent sales have gone pending at, because that's going to be our new comp 2 weeks from now when it closes. Those are the best indicator. Pending sales are the best indicator of the current market's conditions. And right now, honestly, we're seeing developments and prices. Specifically over the last couple of days, I can think of two or three different condo situations where we had had condos go pending at new records for those complexes. And now we're having other condo owners in those complexes call us and say, "You got to be kidding me. I had no idea that's what my place was worth. Let's take a look at this." If we were going off of just closed sales data, we wouldn't have the most accurate picture of what's going on. So it really is, and I think a lot of people are surprised at some of that appreciation that we've had in certain areas of town. The second thing that I wrote down is understanding that the finishes in the house, what level of finish work has been done at the house. And so there's a big thing. For instance, I had even another agent this last week contact me, and they had seen a split level home that we had done a renovation on and fixed up. And so one of the things he did is he shot me a text. He's like, "Hey, can you send me a picture of that renovated split kitchen? I'm with a buyer. They're just unsure of value of what is possible." So really looking at, okay, have there been no updates done in the house? Have they done the kitchen? Have they done the bathroom? And then knowing what those changes, how they relate to the new list price and affect the value of that house. One of the things you have to do is when you're looking at those comparable homes, and this is one of the things where a real estate agent makes a big difference in a market like this, is you have to be objective to those finishes. A lot of times people will say, "Gosh, there was a split that sold and it was the same size as mine, and I can't believe they got $35,000 more than the other split that sold 3 months ago." As an objective real estate agent, you can come in and say, "Gosh, I know, but did you know that they spent $50,000 doing a kitchen remodel that they only got $35,000 back? And so that comparable had a $50,000 kitchen remodel done to it. So I know you want to gain that extra $35,000, but that might only raise the price of your house $5,000 or $10,000 in using that one as a comp because the level of upgrades were so high." So knowing what the condition of that house is and how it relates to buyers' current taste, that is another huge, huge factor in setting a listing price that can cause people to line up for that listing. So those are the first two big ones that I wrote down. I've got two more when we come back, because what we don't want to happen is even in a hot market, you can still overprice a home, miss that window of five or six people that are desperately looking right now, and then end up sitting on the market for longer than you need to, and in many cases having to reduce down below what you could have got in the first place. When we come back from the break, we're going to talk to Mike Denslow at Home Street about what's going on in the lending world and look at a few more strategies for setting a listing price that will cause buyers to line up to buy your house.
Right here on News Talk 870.
Welcome back to the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. We've been looking at setting a listing price that causes buyers to line up. You know, it's really hard in this market because you still have to rely on fundamentals, on what's going on. But you have to be very, very vigilant of recent comps, changes in how hot our market is, and then make that last final artistic judgment on where you can go with that price to maximize your return. So the sooner you can get an agent like myself and on my team to help you make that evaluation, make the changes you need earlier in the process, the better off you are. I've got two more great points on what you can do to help set that realistic list price. But before we get to that, one of those factors that we're looking at is what's going on in the financing world. And Mike, what you have happening over at Home Street right now?
Well, I was just thinking about everything you were talking about in the first half, and with low inventory, a lot of homes, maybe older homes, are coming on the market, and people are looking at them going, man, you know, I just don't have the time to get this house up to the way I want it, but I like that old style, or I like this, or I like something about the neighborhood, those kind of things. And what they can do is they can look into basically a renovation loan. We have Scott Unger at our office at Home Street, who's, I can't tell you how many loans, renovation loans he's done, but he is the resident expert in Tri-Cities for renovation loans. And best thing to do is sit down with him and go over, hey, I can buy this house and immediately close, and then working with subcontractors, get some updates done or get this and that done. I mean, I don't even know. I know it well enough to say talk to Scott.
Right. Absolutely. And I've seen some of those go through to where right now in this market, that's really, you know, thinking outside of the box is like, okay, there's not the inventory. I can create some value and in many cases create some equity by bringing up to standard, above standard, what you could otherwise find that's active.
Yeah, that's one thing to look at there. Just generally in the lending world, I mean, we're still looking at credit, we're still looking at income, we're still looking at assets. And I've said it a million times, getting those people in early, having the conversation, hey, I'm looking at 225 and I need to do an FHA loan, or I need down payment assistance. Let's just look at all of those numbers. Let's get it out all on the table. Well, that's going to be a payment of X, and you're going to actually have to come in with this much of your own money. And it just really sets a lot of people at ease knowing, okay, hey, that's a good, I can handle that payment. And yeah, I'm going to have that much money saved up, or I've got tax return coming back, or from the sale of my home, all these different things. But just having that conversation is just critical to going in and having a smooth process from beginning to end. Everyone's different, right? I mean, every client you talk to, no situation is the same, from job history to credit history to everyone's situation. So get in, come talk to us. Let's get it figured out and set you at ease before you get out there. And sometimes before you list your house, so you don't sell it too fast, and then you're not ready to put in an offer to buy something.
Yeah, and it's funny how what we do is so similar, because the topic of pricing a home that causes buyers to line up, we have the same problem that you just mentioned, is that no two houses are the same. Even if they're the exact same model home by a builder, you've got a second one that's on a different lot. And then maybe the orientation is different. Maybe the color is different inside, you know.
The style of fence, the parking on the side.
So I mean, you're actually right. You could have two buyers that worked at the same job, you know, and they would have slightly different histories. And so, yeah, it's the same type of thing, as every single transaction that we end up doing is unique to that situation. They're all just slightly different from each other.
Yeah, so you're absolutely right. I'm going to keep saying this as long as I'm on the show. Get in early, start asking questions. I think we talked about a client, you know, recently who was getting ready to list and was like, well, have you got pre-approved? Oh, yeah, I'm not worried about that. And we're like, well, if your house sells that fast, you better be pre-approved so that you can buy the next house, or you can miss out on things, and you know, you might have sitting there, you know, 3 weeks before your house is ready to close and you don't have a house to move into.
Mike, that's, yes, you're exactly right. And trust me,
by the way,
our sellers, usually what they're doing is they're asking me if they can move in with me at that situation. So let's prevent that as much as possible. Now, another thing too, I wanted to say thank you to you guys at Home Street. We've had the situation a few times where we've been in multiple offers and we knew we were competing, and you guys have gone the extra mile over at Home Street. You've actually picked up the phone for our borrowers and said, and called the listing agent and said, hey, I wanted to let you know we're in multiple, I know where you're in multiple offer situation. You're gonna see a offer come through from, let's just say, Jessica over at the Kenmore team. I just wanted to let you know I've reviewed the file. They are good to go, and they're solid, and they're with me at Home Street. So I want to thank you guys for that, because there's not a lot of lenders that are going to do that, and especially not a national out of town. And so when we're competing against four other offers, and you guys are willing to go in and make that call for our borrowers, that's huge. And I just wanted to thank you guys for doing that, because it helps our buyers get the deal.
You know what? We do what it takes, go the extra mile a little bit, and hey, they get the home and everybody's happy.
Okay, before I go back to real estate only, just a quick shout out. You continue to do some amazing things in the community. I understand you've got some charity stuff for sale right now that's helping a local charity. What is that, real quick?
Yeah, Love the Try. LoveTheTry.com is something I started last year on a whim, because we didn't have any cool Tri-City clothing, hats, shirts, that kind of thing. And then I turned it into just donating all the profits to charities. And so it seemed like a little innocent little project on the side. And now it's going crazy. Just released some new spring clothes, and I'm donating all the profits to the Tri-City Cancer Center. Through all of the sales through July are going to go to the Cancer Center. So we had a kickoff event. It went really well. We had like $2,000 worth of merchandise sold that night. And it's just promoting Tri-Cities, promoting the Tri. And it's really fun. And what I told somebody the other day, you know, they were giving me a hard time about not being busy enough. And I said, well, I guess I don't get to watch Netflix anymore, because this is what I'm doing at night, is Love the Try.
Absolutely. Well, thanks for doing it and your continued support in the community. That's a fantastic project. And what I love about it is the stuff's actually cool. This is not like stuff that you're just going to buy and forget about. Is, I don't know how you're doing it, but you're producing stuff that's cool. I even gave it to my I even gave it to my middle school kids, and if they'll wear it, then I know it's cool. So, well,
thanks, Lance.
So
I appreciate
very
it.
Very good looking stuff. Back to on the real estate side, we were talking as we started today about setting a listing price that causes buyers to line up. Couple times this last week, we had homes we put on the market priced correctly, but also still setting a record for that neighborhood. And 3 to 4 showings that first night on the market, and then above list price offers accepted. So what you have happening is you're setting a list price that is still setting a record for the community and for that neighborhood, and you're also getting above list price. That's a win-win for what's going on for those sellers. You have to be careful, though. There's still some things to consider. Another big item that I put down that I've always talked about with our sellers for years is go see homes for sale. If you're thinking about putting your home on the market, even still, this is one of those fundamentals that you really should not ignore, even in a hot market. And that is, buyers that are looking are going to be comparing you against new construction. Swing by some of these model homes, these open houses. See what that home looks like that buyers are going to be going through. And then do what you need to do to at least get to a level where you can compete and be looked at with those new construction homes. Buyers, trust me, are going to be used to seeing amazing pictures online. They watch HGTV all the time, so they see sometimes kind of an unrealistic view of what things will look like. But as close as you can get to that, the higher you're going to maximize your return. A well-staged home, when a buyer walks through, it doesn't give them any reason not to write the offer that night. And that can make a huge, huge difference. If a buyer's just looked at four homes that were not staged or not clean or not touched up paint, and they look at that fifth one. The front door looked bad. They look at that fifth one, and none of that is wrong. They immediately feel like that's the right choice. And so that can make a big, big difference and is still very, very important to setting that price. If you can't make all those changes, if you can't bring that up to speed, then you need to reflect those changes in the price and go with another strategy. And that is being slightly below what those comps have sold for. You need to look and say, I don't have the time. I don't have the money. I can't bring that up to speed. Well, then you better set it at a price that is below what those comps were. So that is the reason why people are coming and lining up at your house. Both strategies work, but you need to be informed and you need to take a look at what you're doing in those situations. Speaking of homes that are for sale and that have done that, we've got some absolutely great new inventory on the market. 1074 Allen White Drive in Richland. This is a stunning Heritage Hills 5-bedroom, 4-bath, stucco rambler with a basement that has awesome panoramic views. 4,016 square feet, beautiful landscaping. You've got a waterfall pond feature, absolutely huge living room that has the open concept gas fireplace. You also get a formal dining room and an absolutely gourmet kitchen for entertaining. Granite countertops, breakfast bar, custom Huntwood cabinets, stainless steel appliances. This is absolutely high end estate. Private master suite on the main level. Corner tub, oversized walk-in shower with dual shower heads plus rain shower. I mean, everything you expect high-end, this place is dialed in, and that's coming in 4,000 square feet at $585,000. Great, great property. Pick number two, 1907 South Highlands, West Richland. This is a 4-bedroom, 3-bath, plus a bonus room, 3,040 square feet, big living room, awesomely updated kitchen with granite counters, full backsplash. We talked about in the segments a home that was a little bit older that had done all of those updates. This is it at 1907 South Highlands. Hardwood floors through the entry, the halls, formal dining. Upper level has its own loft-style family room. Very, very nice, large, fully fenced backyard. And that's coming in at $325,000. And I got to say, that's in that price point that is hard to hit right now. Pick number three, you know, I don't want to say there's a favorite on my list because I think all of these are going to sell quickly, but this is a great, great opportunity. This is 1803 South Yost Place in Kennewick. This is a very, very well-maintained 3-bedroom, 3-bath rambler on the Street of Dreams. Okay, so that's right off of Union there. Many people that have been in Tri-Cities a long time know Union 19th, originally known as the Street of Dreams. Very, very nice neighborhood. This particular homes backs up to the walking path and the Grange Park that has the demonstration gardens there. Mm-hmm. So you don't have a rear fence neighbor. 2,093 square feet, formal living room, tiled entry. The kitchen has Corian counters. You've got a dining nook, an updated dishwasher, disposal, and microwave. Private master suite that has a slider back to the deck. This house is absolutely fantastic. Fully fenced, big backyard. New heat pump in 2012. Okay, here's the thing. Here's the thing with this house. It needs, it has an older shake roof. But it'll be certified that it will. You'll be able to get financing on this. That's probably the only drawback to this house. And I talk about people because they call me all the time. Lance, show me an opportunity. Show me a house that has equity. The price of that house on Street of Dreams is $289,900. Wow. Okay. And there were some mistakes that were made. This house was on the market before, right? And we talked about what happens if you set the price way too high and then you don't get the looks and then you're chasing the market. Okay, 1803 South Yost Place. If you're looking for a Rambler, you want to be in Kennewick, you want to be in an amazing neighborhood, and you tell me to look at a house, to find you that house for under $300, normally we're hanging up on you. No, I'm just kidding. We don't do that. But this is that house at $289.9. Shouldn't even be on the market. So give us a call if you've been looking in that price range. This is one you should consider if you actually want instant equity. Go to kenmoreteam.com. Shoot us a message. It'll be up on our website. You can check out the pictures there. Mike, how can people get a hold of you that are dying to get financing for this last house I just talked about?
572-3650 is the main line at Home Street. You can also get a hold of Scott Unger for renovation loans at that same number.
Absolutely fantastic. Go to kenmoreteam.com, shoot us a message, and of course, we will be right back here in, normally I'd say on the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update, but I will say because of the news story just released, in the number one rising housing markets, Pasco, Washington, we'll be right back here next week.
Right here on News Talk 870.